What does it mean to be American? Who is American and what defines us as a nation?
Painting. I love painting.
Painting? What kind
yes.
of painting?
Landscapes mostly, and like sunsets, and just a bunch of like nature, basically.
Yeah,
those are my favorite.
This is Lexi. She's a student at Bridges High School in Carbondale, Colorado. She and her classmates thought a lot about America this semester. Miss Andrea was Lexi's history teacher at Bridges this spring. She guided her students through big questions about American identity and helped them to write personal stories.
For a very long time, being a border girl, I really wanted to share stories that were similar to mine and just people's stories in general. And I really feel like telling people's stories really helps bridge the gap between cultures and between just our own identities sometimes. And so
the curriculum was provided by We Are America, which is a nonprofit organization working with classrooms all over the country.
We are the only ones in the state of Colorado right now, but basically they're trying to get high school student voices and see where high school students are right now in America and really try to define what America is through a high school student's perspective, which is really a beautiful way to see where our future is going and to also help foster just that sense of independence and the sense of you belong, you're worthy, you know, already in our future students. I think it was just such a meaningful thing to do.
By sharing their stories, these students are expanding our ideas of what it means to be American. By sharing their dreams, their hardships, their values, and their lessons, these three students help us to understand this country and the identity that binds us all together.
I want to work and I want to study cosmetology. I think afterwards I want to move out of state and go to an even bigger school.
I wanted to go into the medical field, but I also wanted to be a psychologist. So I was trying, like I'm debating on both of those.
I would like to take a gap year, keep working, save up some money, and then from there move to Monterrey for a few months, which is in Mexico. I would like to study for an airplane pilot over there.
You're listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program, where we highlight student efforts in art, activism, and other outstanding projects in the Roaring Fork Valley. Across the world and here in America, people often have lower expectations for women's success and self-sufficiency. Since some of her friends and family have set the bar low, this student plans to surprise everyone. What are you looking forward to about being a high school graduate? What do you want to do when you say goodbye to this place?
I'm looking forward to going to college, and I'm really hoping to accomplish things that many people thought I could accomplish.
What kind of things do you want to do to, you know, quote unquote, prove them wrong?
Well, I'm already proving them wrong by graduating because many people thought that I wouldn't be able to graduate. I just want to get a good career, and I just want to like not have to depend on anybody, because a lot of people thought that I would have to depend on a man. But I'm just trying to prove everyone that that's not the case.
Why did you decide to tell this story?
I believe that telling this story would somehow make me feel better. I felt like telling my story might help others, because I believe that not everybody is alone, and I feel like they just need to have hope.
What gives you hope?
Probably my little siblings from Denver.
Yeah?
Yeah, they've helped me a lot, and they just mean a lot to me.
Yeah. How have they helped you?
Well, they've showed me love. Mm-hmm. Like nobody else has. And it might not be that perfect, but I feel like they've been there even though they're like really young. My story started with a very happy family. I was happy because there wasn't any arguing in our house. My parents were divorced and both had remarried someone else. I remember being okay with living in two different households, and I didn't mind having step-parents because I still felt loved. In the beginning, my stepmom would look out for me and take care of me. I remember waking up in the morning and smelling the crispy waffles with fresh fruit. I believed that just as long as my mom and dad loved me, I would be okay. But that all changed after hearing and experiencing arguments from my parents and step-parents. The event that set off my story was hearing all the harsh words that my parents told each other. I was the oldest out of all my siblings, so I felt like they were all my responsibility. I was the only child my parents had together. I had fallen behind and I stopped going to my classes. I used to be one of the smartest in my math class, but that changed. My teachers saw how tired and exhausted I was. I was worried about feeling alone. I felt hopeless because I thought it was my fault that my parents were not together anymore. I never knew whose fault it was, so all I wanted to do was blame someone, and I ended up blaming myself for whatever reason. This led to my anxiety because I had a lot of weight on me. I was the only child my mom and dad had together, so I felt like I had to be the perfect role model to everyone. I want others to understand that whatever happens between your parents does not define you, nor is it your fault. It took me 15 years to realize this because I got into a toxic relationship that made me see things differently. This relationship was far from rainbows and sunshines. Being in that relationship made me think about my parents' relationship because we didn't always see things eye to eye. My parents were always arguing and disagreeing about the dumbest things, and so were we. My friends always told me to leave him because they saw I wasn't happy. Unfortunately, I didn't leave him because he was like a drug. I was so addicted to him, even though he was bad for me, because I didn't know any difference. I used to get rid of the way I was feeling with hurting myself. I realized this wasn't helping, so I turned into reading books, because when I read books, I was in a different world. I believe that life isn't the best and you should just try to learn from others' mistakes. It's just, I understand that it's hard for people to let go of the person that they think they love, but they will feel better once they've let go of the person.
You know, you say at the end that, like, life isn't great, but you should learn from others' mistakes. What do you love about life?
I just feel like life has a lot of twists and turns, so you never know what's going to happen. You can choose what your future will be. You can choose what road to take. You don't have to go on a specific road. You can go at your own pace. You can go on your own time. It's just a questioning of you taking a step forward.
How did you finally let go of him?
I just realized that once I lost all of my friends, that at the end, he might not even be there with me the whole time. And I just felt like maybe letting him go was the best way to feel better about myself and just to look for new people.
Is there anything else you'd like to add about your story or your experience in this class?
I just want to let everybody know that even though you're going through a tough time, it's just going to be one part of your life. It's not going to define who you are. It's not going to define who you're going to be in the future. You just need to try and become a better person and just learn through the mistakes that you've seen or that you've done.
She always seemed very shy as well. Like, she didn't really want to talk about a lot of things, but she was really one of those students that I saw also change in front of my eyes. I mean, her confidence at the end was beautiful to see. Once she opens her mouth, she has a lot of wonderful things to say. That girl is a powerhouse, and I can't wait for her to just own it more, you know, because she really is. She has so much to give and so much love.
I've always been really shy when it comes to opening up about who I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm a very outgoing person, pretty loud, but when it comes to sharing about me, I'm not the best at it. So I thought it was an opportunity to discover more of me and be able to like actually write a story about me that I'd be proud of.
Alexis the painter is another student at Bridges. She has persevered through some similar family struggles, but in just the past few months, she talks about her own story with a fresh perspective.
My story basically just explains a few of the things I've had to go through and the lessons I've took away from them, because I think before, if I would have written this story, it would have just been me complaining. And I think I look at life a little differently now.
What do you think caused that shift in your perspective to look at things more positively?
Honestly, just being here at Bridges.
Really?
When as soon as I got here, it was a really, I love this school. I've tried two different schools before this one. So it's a very welcoming and safe environment. I know they say that schools are supposed to feel safe. Half of the time they really don't for a lot of people. And I think this environment just very open to everyone. And I think it was like, wow, you can actually coexist with people and everyone has problems and it's not just me.
Is that what made it feel safe?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah. Everyone has normal people problems and some of them have like the same problems that I had growing up. So it's easier for me to relate to people and it's like a lot easier for me to be like considerate of other people now. So growing up, I always thought that the perfect idea of a family was having both of your parents together and that no matter what you went through, you never give up on a marriage. My parents had a short courtship and had me right away. 6 years later, my brother, Max, came into the world and brought me so much joy. I was 11 and Max had just turned 6 when my world flipped upside down. I became a young woman whose only purpose in the world was to protect my brother because everything around me was collapsing. Suddenly, I wasn't a regular kid anymore. I had new responsibilities and a change in personality. Life wasn't perfect before the divorce, but nobody's life is ever perfect. The last night my parents spent together confirmed that the separation was final. The divorce itself lasted 3 years to finalize. In that time, my parents went to court 8 times. I was diagnosed with depression and severe anxiety. I was put in therapy and met around 30 psychiatrists that did nothing but try to solve my problems with pills. I was a popular girl at school before the separation. I played basketball, joined choir, was on the honor roll, and had positive referrals from multiple teachers. My friends noticed things were off. I had completely changed. I distanced myself from them because I was angry. Their families were still together. I was angry at God for doing this to me. My grades dropped immensely. I had no motivation, and I was becoming rude and disrespectful. I was constantly fidgeting or tapping my pencil, and I was no longer this cheerful, optimistic little girl. My goals were no longer like my classmates. I had bigger problems to worry about, such as getting through the day and later on, the night. I felt so out of place. After the divorce was finalized, I had a mental breakthrough. I cried tears of joy for hours. I could finally breathe again, and for a moment, I had relief. My parents were not together anymore, and I was finally able to recognize that God hadn't done this to me, but He had done this for me. One day, my mom told me that sometimes letting go hurts less than holding on, and it has become my life motto. My anxiety and depression are now managed, and though they may never go away, I know that it's also there to protect me. It reminds me that even though I thought I was experiencing the end of the world, I still made it out alive. I can get up and fight for my future. My parents are happily co-parenting now and have never stopped loving us. We have new traditions, new celebrations, and different experiences with each of our parents. And though it isn't the traditional form, we are a happy family. But most importantly, I know that God wasn't trying to hurt me. He just wanted all of us to be happy, even if we were separated. Together or not, my parents will love Max and I forever. They did their best, and their best including separated. That ended up being one of the hardest things to go through, but with a great reward, our family's happiness.
You said that your life motto now is sometimes letting go is better than holding on.
Yes.
In what ways have you used that in other parts of your life?
I think I try to use it in pretty much everything, even little things. Like if you get mad at something, just know that in 5 minutes you will totally forget about it. And or if you're mad at someone, it's easier to just let go of the actual problem and recognize that you love the person and that you care about them, or maybe their intentions were in the right place.
What values have you taken away from this experience?
Well, my parents separating was very hard for me, but I think I value more each of my parents individually as people and as parents by themselves. And I think that it's very valuable for you to do what's best for your kids. And I appreciate that my parents separated and didn't stay just because, you know, I wanted them to stay.
Do you feel like you now know that you can prioritize yourself moving forward?
For sure. I think my mom had, well, she grew up in a Mexican household. So in that culture, you just kind of have to stay with your husband. Like you get with your husband, you have kids, you cook, you clean. And she moved here and it was hard for her to adapt and get out of that mindset. But I think it definitely will help me in the future, knowing that if my mom can do it, I can do it too. And I can fight for myself and for my future kids.
What are your next plans or your next steps? What do you want to do now that you're graduating?
I want to work and I want to study cosmetology. I think afterwards I want to move out of state and go to an even bigger school in a bigger city with more techniques. And this summer I'll be traveling to Mexico to get some certificates over there for cosmetology so I can have a little bit of, like, differences.
What do you like about cosmetology? Why that field?
I like cosmetology because it started off as a mask for me, something that like I just put on in the morning and I'm a brand new person. And I think I've kind of flipped that for me and I've used it as a way to express myself. Today I felt very simple, didn't want to get out of bed. So I just have brown eyeshadow and that was like, I threw on my eyelashes and that was it. But let's say I'm cheerful, I'll maybe put in like a bright pink or a bright yellow. And yeah, just like painting, it helps me just express my emotions.
That's so cool. I it's funny that you say that this was like a meh morning for you, because I like saw your eyelashes and was just like, wow, those are so powerful. And
oh, I love the eyelashes. Yeah, they make everything pop.
That's so cool.
But I really loved how she gained strength and confidence within herself by just saying this story. And she, I saw it not just on screen, but then eventually when I saw her in person at school, she just had this like pep in her step that I don't feel like she had before sharing her story. It like really just kind of brought her to this place where she did feel like she was worthy enough. And that to me was everything.
I was born here in Colorado, in Aurora actually. When I was about 3-4 years, we moved to Mexico, Chihuahua, and that's where I lived for around 11-12 years. And then around 3 years ago, I moved here with a cousin of mine. Everything was okay the first 4 or 5 months, and then I felt like he started taking advantage of me.
Elian is not your average high school student. He works full-time, goes to school, and lives on his own. He has big dreams for financial success, no matter what his circumstances.
I was not expecting to live for free. I was going to pay rent and all that. But besides the rent, it was bills, food, taking care of the kids, being there all the time, not being able to go out. So it was just school and work, and that was it.
So that's what your story is about?
Pretty much. And right now I'm trying to succeed, working, getting school done.
What do you feel like you've learned from the experience?
I've learned hard work, be honest, not take advantage of people like they did to me, and not everybody's the same. And from all those bad things that happened to me, there's always a bright side to it.
Okay, are you still with your cousin?
No. I moved out of there around a year ago, a year and a half.
Okay. Are you on your own?
Yeah, I'm living by my own now. Working, doing school, all that.
How does it feel to be so independent?
I mean, I was kind of used to it already because I will pay rent, pay bills, pay food, take care of the place and all that. And now it's just being alone pretty much, but there's not much difference, and which I like. I like living by myself. Mm-hmm. That's good. Okay, this is Ileana here. I'm going to tell my story. Growing up, I was always more mature than people my age. I always wanted to be successful, but I had no idea what I wanted to do in life to make that success a reality. I remember growing up in Mexico and meeting a guy that was about 9 years older than me. I was 12 years old back then, and I saw that my friend was living life comfortably because he purchased a condo complex and had money. I saw his success grow. He had a new phone, car, clothes, money, and I got really excited because I saw what success could look like and that it was something I could accomplish. If he could do it, why couldn't I? I wanted to bring all those good things to my family, so I decided I needed to go to the United States to work and study in order to make more money. I was born in the United States after all, so it wouldn't be that hard for me to go back and set a foundation for my future. One day, my dad asked me if I wanted to go to visit the US with a cousin. I thought this was my chance, so I decided to follow them and move to see what was going to happen. At first, I was confused because it was so different for me in America. The lifestyle was different, the roles were different, and I felt like it was not home. Therefore, I decided to make a change. I found a job, started school, and a month after, I got to the US and started paying bills and helping my cousin around the house. Before long, I started feeling like a slave. My cousin had me take care of his kids, clean his house, and help with odds and ends. A year and a half later, my cousin came up to me one day and told me he wanted me to quit work because I needed more time at the house to help his family. I didn't like that because he wouldn't help pay my bills, send money back to my family, or help me finish my education. When he got mad at me for going to work, I decided to go pack my bags and left to start on my own. I shared my situation with my boss and he told me I could live in his house, pay him rent, and work for him as well. So I left. I only had 5 English credits and capstone credits to complete in order to graduate. I was almost done with high school. I heard that Bridges High School would be a flexible school that will let me work and study. It was also the closest to me, so I signed up and worked on graduating. I've been so lucky to work in landscape in the summer, snow removal in the winter, and I do some maintenance work when needed. I have also been working with Miss Andrea to get the credits I'm missing. This experience has been a really good one because of the flexibility it gave me. It allowed me to get to know my teacher, I learned about a new school, and I was able to make new friends along the way. Bad things that happen to you in life are not always that bad. You can always get something good out of them if you really want them and work hard to get them.
You said when you first got back to the States that it didn't feel like home. Everything was different. Is that still the case? Does the U.S. or Mexico still feel like home?
Both of them.
Both of them?
So I feel like I'm home right now.
Yeah.
Sometimes I miss down there. When I'm down there, I miss here, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bit of both. So.
What do you feel like got you to the point where you were able to say, this is home?
Friends I have here, my coworkers, I'm working, I have my life over here, you know, I'm working, I have my car, I have my place, so that's home.
How did you know that you were ready to live on your own?
Started thinking, I was like, I've been paying bills, I've been paying rent, I take care of the house, I cook, I pay for food. It's not that bad to live on your own because I'm pretty much doing what they would do.
Do you feel like you've had the freedom to be a kid, or do you feel like you've had to grow up really fast?
I feel like I had to grow up really fast because I didn't have much time to play around and do what kids do. I worked since I was 7, 8, mm-hmm. helping my dad, you know, and all that. Mm-hmm. And it was hard work. So
yeah,
I got back. I used to get back from school and get to work.
Where do you think you got your work ethic from? Do you feel like it was taught to you by someone or that you've always had it?
It was taught to me from my dad. Yeah.
He's a really hard worker.
He is, yeah. I'm trying to get him out of that already, but he is, yeah.
I was teaching virtually and I could not say no to a student that wanted an education that bad. He was working full time, so I had to meet him before classes, after classes. He learned that being shy is a good thing, but also having a voice is also a very good thing. And so really just like watching students overcome these barriers, you know, it's all worth it. But that kid, it was pretty amazing to see how much he wants to succeed in life. We get away from it because it's always like, oh yeah, you know, heard that one before. How many times have your parents said the same story, right? But there's value in those stories. And if we start to really listen to everybody's stories and see like what the cool little things are or what is similar from that story and my story to make me feel like a human that belongs in this world, you know, not so isolated in my own story, I think we can break down so many barriers. I think we need to talk more, because if we talk more, then we realize that we all can actually live together in a harmonious way that is more powerful and more beneficial to our civilization and our community, better than really a lot of other sources, you know. And right now with everybody questioning media and questioning so many other things that are happening in the world, to come back to stories, I think can really help us grow and figure out our future.
You've been listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. Special thanks to the Bridges students and Andrea Harris for all of their work. And thank you for listening.